Third means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Raptors! I tried to do a little bit of a rendition right there for you as we welcome you back into Moonlight Graham Field. Just having some fun with it, just like the Raptors. They lead 5-3 in what right now is a pretty close game. The Raptors trailed for a majority of it, but they took the lead in the seventh inning thanks to a two-spot there, and they scored three runs in the sixth inning as well. They lead 5-3 as Noah Ruiz leads off against the same pitcher from last inning in Michael Caruso. So quickly 0-2 as he fouls another one back. And Noah Ruiz in tonight's game, he has reached every time he's been up at the plate. 2-for-3 with a walk, reaching on an error and two singles. 0-2 count to him, misses low and away, and it bounces high off the turf towards the backstop to bring it 1-2. And Ruiz, he scored two runs this game. He has a stolen base, stealing home on what was a play where they threw down to second base trying to catch Madden Ocko in between the base paths. Ruiz with the heads-up steal of home. 1-2 count as Caruso looks straight on, now brings it with the breaking ball, and it just misses inside. No, they actually call. But that might have been the latest call. I mean, that was a call that came maybe 7 seconds after the pitch came across. Home plate umpire finally signaling strike number 3, caught him looking. So Noah Ruiz retired for the first time today, and it brings up Matt Binal. Binal, the left-handed batter at the plate, takes this pitch high for ball number 1. This Binal's first plate appearance of the game. He pinch ran from Madden Ocko back in the seventh inning. Didn't come around to score, though. He was stranded at third. 1-0 is a big swing and a miss to make it 1-1. And Binal, he's wearing a long-sleeve white undershirt beneath his jersey. And it's a lot colder down on the field than it is around, as the 1-1 is a big swing and a miss to bring it 1-2. And, well, the night is getting cold anyways. A very chilly night here in Mequon. It's 58 degrees. And trying to stay warm out there. It's a 1-2 count. This one sent down the left field line, hooking foul. And count stays at 1-2. And previously in the 3 spot for the Raptors, Spencer Davis was the starter there. He went 0-for-2 with a strikeout and reached on fielder's choice. Madden Ocko was 2-for-2 with a single, a double, an RBI, and a run scored. And all hoping to have more of that success as the 1-2 misses outside to bring it 2-2. Eric Parker on deck. He's due up this inning. Parker still looking for his first hit as a Raptor after being activated today. 2-2 count is a swing and a miss as Michael Caruso has now gone 5-up, 5-down. And I bet you Chinooks fans are wishing they'd turned to him a little bit earlier. Into the seventh inning, the Raptors and Chinooks were tied 3-3, but a big inning there. They scored two more and left the bases loaded. Brings up Eric Parker here in the ninth. Barker, the right-handed hitter, looking to do some damage against the right-hander on the mound. Russo is set now, brings the leg up and fires home, and a check swing on a pitch that missed high brings it 1-0. On deck, if it gets there, Chris Diaz, but the Rafters up two runs right now. It's a little bit of breathing room. With the way that Zach Crotchfeldt's been pitching, that's a lot of bit of a breathing room as this pitch misses low and outside for ball number two. Looking on down to the Rafters bullpen, nobody warming up down there. So you've got to assume that Crotchfeldt is coming back out for the ninth inning, hoping to finish the game off with just two pitchers being used, as that one's on the outside, called for strike one, a 2-1 count. Drew Thompson went 5 innings for the Rafters, allowing just the 3 runs. Zach Crotchfeldt has so far gone 3 innings of shutout ball. He has been dominating out there. 2-1 count to Parker, misses upstairs for ball number three. It's 3-1. While it was expected that Parker might be the star of the show today, the former MLB draft pick from 2024, he is reaching base for the second time right here as he takes that pitch high for ball number four. Parker 0-for-3 with an RBI and 2 walks. The RBI coming on a ground out, and he's been really a little bit quiet, but you know what? It's a little bit of an adjustment to the league, and that's one of the things that I was talking with Brennan Cohen about back when he was on the broadcast here in the sixth inning, and some of the things that I've heard just from the guys is you got to get used to the pitching, you got to get used to the zone, the wood bats, all of this. As that pitch misses outside to Diaz for ball number one. It's a 1-0 count, and Diaz 0-for-3 from the plate. He was hit by a pitch in the sixth inning. Came home to score, though. 1-0 count with a runner on first and two away. Parker's got nobody ahead of him, and he's going to take off. It's inside. The throw on down to second is there. Did they get the tag? Yeah, they did. So Parker thrown out at second base on the caught stealing attempt, and that means three up, three down in the ninth inning. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left. And it remains 5-3. Raptors 3 outs away from their first back-to-back wins of the season. We'll see if they can finish it off when we return here at WFHR Wisconsin.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and share this overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Let's close it out. It's the bottom of the ninth. Rafters up 5-3, and you guessed it. It is Zach Crotchfeldt back out there. The first pitch
misses low and inside to Drew Reynolds. It's a 1-0 count. Reynolds hit the home run back in the fourth inning, a solo shot over that right field wall. The 1-0 count is a pop-up. Adrian trying to find it. He is going to get to it, slide into the ground, making the grab for out number one. One up, one down in the ninth inning. Zach Crotchfeld, absolutely dominant so far. He's allowed just two base runners. One of them was caught stealing. And that's through 3 1/3 innings in this game. He has now gone 5 1/3 innings for the Rafters. To start his career, he has yet to allow a run. Rafters up 5-3 in the bottom of the ninth. And Jack Clevedo, the right-handed hitter, stepping back into the batter's box. Rafters looking for their second straight win after dominating the Rockers 15-5 last night. Another great pitching performance here as this one misses outside for ball number one. Clevedo, 2-3 in the game. He's been swinging a hot bat, going to try and keep it going. But the hot arm right now, Zach Crotchfeld. The Rafters have used just two pitchers and nobody really warming up. There is an arm throwing a baseball down there, though, as this one is in there, called for strike number one. It's a 1-1 count. The reason I say not warming up, it's not full pitching. They don't have their jersey on, as this one misses high for ball number two. It's a 2-1 count, so I can't quite tell who that is warming up in the Rafters bullpen, but going to give Crotchfeld the chance to close it out. He's at 45 pitches through 3 1/3. Going to try and get out of this his fourth inning here and keep it to just two pitchers being used in the game, and gets a swing and a miss on the 2-1 above the zone to make it 2-2. 11-0 singled back in the sixth inning his last time up. He was the only hit up until the eighth inning knock from Jacob Coase. 2-2 count with one away and bases empty. Chinooks down two at home. They're going to try and make the comeback. 2-2 count. This one's roped into deep left field. Running up on it. The wind pushing back, and it keeps it in play for out number two. And that one felt good off the bat, but the flags in center field are blowing straight out from left field towards right field. Does not let that one get any momentum under it. Now two away in the ninth inning. Crotchfeld still looking to keep this one and close it out. Could be the final batter of the game. He's gone two up, two down in the ninth. And the first pitch called for strike number one. Esteban Garcia, the left-handed batter at the plate. He's got an 0-1 count. Lefty-lefty matchup. Two away, bases empty. Rafters up 5-3 in the bottom of the ninth. 0-1 is going to miss inside to bring it 1-1. Crotchfeld about to pass the 50-pitch marker right here. And the 1-1 count comes home. It is a little bit low to bring it 2-1. Garcia 0-3 in the game today and needs to get on base to keep this one alive. The Rafters have allowed just 2-1 count. This one's off the end of the bat. Flare down the left field line, and it lands in fair foul territory. Not able to be reached by the third baseman for the Rafters, Noah Ruiz. The Rafters bullpen making the walk down. Nobody warming up anymore. They're going to give it to Crotchfeld. 2-2 count. Crotchfeld trying to get his final strike here. He's got 6 strikeouts on the game. The 2-2 is a little upstairs and a check swing. He didn't go. Full count here to Garcia. Owen DeShazo is on deck if it gets to him. He would represent the tying runner. Crotchfeld looking to not let that happen. A swing and a miss, and he strikes him out. The Rafters have won. The final score, 5-3. Just two pitchers being used for the Raptors. Crotchell goes 4 scoreless, while Drew Thompson allows just 3 runs in his 5-inning start. What a performance from the Raptors pitching, and the offense does enough to get the job done. We're going to go ahead and hit a quick break, and when we come back, it's the post-game show here on WFHR Wisconsin.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Raptors win 5-3 as they come back down 3 runs and score 5 unanswered to finish the game. What a performance out there from the pitchers. And the offense coming on late, 6th and 7th innings are huge. Let's recap it and how it happened. Back in the first inning, it was scoreless for the Raptors, but in the bottom of the first, it was the Chinooks who scored first. It was a walk of Beckett Dvorak. He stole second, reached third on an error on the throw down to second, and then came home on the RBI single from Tyler Priest. Second inning comes around. Both teams are held scoreless. Same with the third. But in the fourth inning, the Raptors once again still held scoreless as Nate Gray went through 5 shutout frames. In the bottom of the fourth, though, the Chinooks, they score 1 on Drew Thompson on the home run from Drew Reynolds. That made it 2-0. And then the bottom of the fifth inning, that's when it was the sacrifice fly RBI from Jacob Coase to make it 3-0. The Raptors didn't have much momentum, but what they had is Nate Gray finally out of the game in the top of the sixth inning after those 5 shutout frames. And in the top of the sixth, they made it count. They scored 3 runs on Bobby Parabzak. Parabzak allowed 3 runs. One of them was earned after an error, a double, an RBI grounder from Eric Parker made it 3-1. Then a hit-by-pitch of Chris Diaz and a RBI single from Hiroto Kobayashi sent home Madden Ako, sent home Matt Pinal. And then it was the single from Jack Guerrero to put runners on first and third. The Raptors scored those 3 runs in the inning, and then in the seventh inning, they would add 2 more as Zach Crotchfeld came in for Drew Thompson in the sixth inning and shut down the Chinooks. So top of the seventh, the Raptors come back to work. They get a walk, a single and a walk, and they make it a 5-3 game. But then a new pitcher comes in after that was Jacob Hakame, who relieved Bobby Parabzak entering the seventh inning. So Hakame allowed the 2 runs to come across, and Arthur Liebau comes into the game. It's a strikeout looking, a walk, and then a double play to end the seventh inning. But the damage had already been done by the Raptors. They took the 5-3 lead. Bottom of the seventh, Crotchfeld goes 1-2-3, all on strikeouts. He had 5 strikeouts in his first 2 innings. Then top of the eighth, Raptors go down 1-2-3. Bottom of the eighth, it was another 3-up, 3-down inning for Zach Crotchfeld, thanks to a caught stealing over in between second and first of Jacob Coase. He picked up 1 more strikeout to get 6 on the game. And then in the top of the ninth inning, it was two strikeouts and a walk before Parker was caught stealing to end the top of the ninth. The Rafters don't score again after they score the 5-run, but they didn't need to. Bottom of the ninth comes around. Zach Crockville back out there. Pop out, fly out, and he ends the game with his seventh strikeout of the night through four innings pitched. What a performance for Crockville, who earns the win for the Rafters. That's the first win of the season for Zach Crockville, as he has gone now six scoreless innings for the Rafters in his start to his career. That's a Rafters season-long streak of not allowing a run, and he has been phenomenal. Hoping to keep that going, the Rafters hoping to keep this momentum rolling along. Taking a look back at the stats, four in all, the Rafters were led by a 2-for-4 night from Noah Ruiz, 2-for-2 from Matt and Akko. Akko had an RBI and a run as well. Ruiz scored one run, also drew a walk. Further on, Hiroto Kobayashi, a 2-for-3 game with two RBIs and a walk. 2-for-4 for Jack Guerrero as well. And on the pitching side, just two pitchers. Drew Thompson goes three earned runs through five innings with five strikeouts. Zach Crockville strikes out seven through four scoreless innings, allowing just two hits. Did not walk a batter. I mean, that is pitching right there. That's about it, though, for the game. The Rafters win back-to-back games for the first time this season, and it's a big one, as they now lead the season series with Lakeshore 2-1. All three of those games have come on the road, though, so when it comes back to later in the season, they should have that a little bit of that home field advantage, feeling pretty good about themselves. The Rafters will redo it here in Lakeshore tomorrow night at 6:35, so hopefully you will be tuned in for that, as it'll be Noah Marschke on the mound for the Rafters and a new pitcher for Lakeshore, Jack Hagan. He'll be starting his first game for the Chinooks. Marschke, his second of the season after going four innings, allowing just two earned runs in his first appearance. So the Rafters win the game 5-3. They improve to 6-9 on the season. Lakeshore draws to 4-11. The Rafters now up two games in the standings in the Great Lakes West, and they are feeling pretty good after this one. So we'll stay here for overnight, and we'll do it one more time tomorrow at 6:35. Pre-game show at 6:20, but that's going to wrap it up here for our post-game show. Thank you so much for tuning in throughout the night and really throughout the season in total. It's always great to have the support of the fans, and hopefully you do enjoy watching Rafters baseball and listening to it on WFHR as well, especially when we're on the road like we are today and for the next couple of games still. But that's going to do it. For myself, Austin Thomas, and from the entire rest of the Rafters organization, thank you and have a great rest of your night.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
You've been listening to Rafter Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, American Shaman, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, Econ Electric, Greenaway RV, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Pro Seamless of Wisconsin, Swiftwater Ice Cream, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Listen into Rafters Baseball here on WFHR all summer long, or check us out on the Civic Media app.
And that one arrest was David Harita, president of SEIU California, who was arrested for allegedly obstructing federal officers. He stood in front of their car, evidently. Prosecutors say he blocked a federal vehicle at the scene. His arrest, he was then injured, taken to the hospital. He's been, released from the hospital, back in the care of federal authorities. California Governor Gavin Newsom condemned Hirata's arrest, calling him a respectable labor leader, and criticized what he described as the unjust treatment of those witnessing government action. SEIU stated Herrera was injured. The arrest, he's still in federal custody, as I said. What's interesting to me is this is what we're watching, a dress rehearsal for what Trump is going to do across the country. And for me, this is, as they've sent, what, I think 2,000 National Guard people into California, to Los Angeles from the California National Guard. This is really a dress rehearsal to see how we're going to react, in my view. Over the weekend, I had people asking me, it's outrageous that we're going to use federal troops. You go, no, we've done this before. This is not new. This is what we've done. Think about the Bonus Army. We talked about that last week. Think about Kent State. Now, of course, Kent State is one thing. Jackson State at the other time, well, that didn't get the attention of the American people. And I don't want anyone to be injured, harmed, killed, any of that. But as we watch what's going on, it's going to take a tragedy before America wakes up. Because understand, the Red Hats, they're tickled. Tickled pink. Because Trump's doing what he said he was going to do. I had a friend go, can you believe this? I go, yeah, I told you this is what they're going to do. They talked about deporting 10 million people. How do you think that was going to happen? Do you think they were going to do it Mother May I style? No, they're going to trample on the Constitution. They're going to throw every law out the window. And understand, this escalation, this is to cause more chaos. Because the more chaos that he can get, the closer he gets to being able to declare martial law. The more violence, the more protesting, the more stuff that goes on. And look, I think we should be shutting stuff down. Because I've said before, the solutions are going to come out of the suffering. The bad stuff that he's escalating toward, that's the only thing that's going to wake Americans up. We're not going to just decide one day we're going to act. No. It's going to have to be something ugly and terrible to where we think it's going to come for us. Right now, it's just the others. And I had a friend ask me, go, well, there are Latinos for Trump. What, aren't they concerned? No. Because they don't think it's them yet. There hasn't been enough stories of people getting snatched up and sent to El Salvador. There hasn't been enough pain and suffering yet. And that's what it's going to take. So as he's sending these troops, look, he's setting the table for the disaster that is to come. How do we react? Do we just sit back and go, oh, he sent the National Guard? Well, or do we get out in cities across this country to protest it? Now, I know there are going to be protests all across the country in places, but how many people show up? And how many voices are talking to our representatives? How many people are writing letters to the editor? How many people are going on their social media and condemning this action? How many people are talking to their friends and neighbors and their relatives saying this is just the start? You know, they arrested a labor leader. And my response was, and then they came for the trade unionists. This is history repeating itself. And it's happening in a place where we told ourselves for years, can't happen here. None of that stuff could happen here. We're better than that. We're Americans. Can it happen here? Yeah, it's happening. And over the next several days, going to be interesting to see what plays out. But it's good to see labor at the front of this. Good on that guy. Good on Huerta. Good on him. And good on SEIU. Back after this.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated shower or two this evening, then a clearing sky tonight, and a low in the low 50s. For tomorrow, hazy sunshine from a little smoke, warmer, highs in the mid-70s. Chances for showers and thunderstorms return Wednesday into Thursday. Currently 57 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So evidently, ABC News has suspended one of their correspondents, Terry Moran. Evidently, Terry Moran said that wrote on social media that Trump was a world-class hater. And he also described Trump's deputy White House chief of staff, Stephen Miller, as someone, well, let me get the quote right, a man who is richly endowed with the capacity for hatred. And I got to be honest, I don't disagree. But I'll tell you what this is. This is Trump playing the refs. This, again, is Trump going after and suing and using the courts to silence a constitutionally protected industry. This is, you know, another win for Trump and democracy. Well, not so much. And here to share some thoughts on this and why, that's my good friend Sarah Burris to come share some thoughts. Sarah is a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website, if you want to check out her work. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, how are you?
So what do you make of this? What do you make of this Terry Moran thing? Am I in the ballpark? Is this Trump successfully playing the refs and putting his thumb on the scale? Or is this just ABC going, no, you've gone too far?
No, that's the thing, is that we had that huge settlement with ABC and George Stephanopoulos's comment about whatever. So I think... What has happened in wake of that is kind of bubbling under the surface is ABC has told the co-hosts of The View that they have to tone it down. And then this thing happened and it's like, you know, I get it. If you want to discipline a reporter for saying, you know, I support this candidate and gave them money or whatever. But I think it's different whenever somebody is just talking about Stephen Miller being evil, because I feel like that's really something that's bipartisan. Like everybody can kind of come together around the fact that
right on one side
he might be
on one side it's a reason to hate him, on one side. The other side, it's a reason to love him. I mean, the right loves him for his positions. The left hates him for those same positions. I think it's nonpartisan. His view, the view of people thinking that he's just plain evil.
And I don't think that that's political in any way. It's just, that's a morality thing, you know? So I don't get it.
I
think
they don't want to get sued.
I don't think it's not just that they don't want to get sued. They're running scared. Like, this isn't even about like, what would you sue them for, being mean to me? Like, that's not how that works.
You've talked to Michael Cohen. You know what Trump has sued over the years. He's always weaponized the court. He's always used frivolous lawsuits to go after and silence people.
But I don't know how you do that if you're attacking Stephen Miller. That means that Stephen Miller's got to sue you. And does he really have time, considering that his wife is now doing something with Elon Musk? And I mean, seems like he's probably a little busy.
Is that the reason for the black guy? So I've heard.
This is the thing. Like, I never really know what's happening in the whole zeitgeist of pop culture, whatever. All I know is that apparently Stephen Miller's wife is now working with or for Elon Musk.
Or under.
And I don't know whatever else might possibly be going on, but.
Got it. No, I got it. I'm not jumping in the middle of that. This isn't the National Enquirer. But, you know, the thing is if our media, which is constitutionally protected, and, you know, it's one of those things that the Constitution pretty clear about, that first thing there at the top, if they're going to be silenced and they're going to silence themselves and censor themselves, you know, what hope do the rest of us have? Is the Democratic Party our savior? Considering now you've got the DNC chair, Ken Martin, I guess, waxing that this might not be the job for him, given this vice chair, David Hogg?
Which is so ridiculous. But again, like, anytime I think somebody who's older and established in the Democratic Party is challenged by somebody who's younger and hasn't paid their dues, then it becomes this whole thing of, you know, oh, I can't take this anymore. Like, God forbid you have a big tent that brings everybody in with every different perspective. And whether you agree with David Hogg or not, the thing is he knows how to raise money. He knows how to talk on TV really well and spin some excellent sound bites. And, you know, and I think he knows how to attract younger people to the party. And that's, all of those things are things that Democrats in the last 6 months have really sucked at.
What's just 6 months? Does your calendar only go back that far? But right. You know, here's the thing. And who didn't see this coming when he was elected when Hogg was elected vice chair? You knew that he was not going to be the, you know, go along team player. You knew that was not going to, he wasn't going to fall in line with the DNC. You know, this is, you know, like it or not, this is what democracy looks like. And it's going to be interesting to see how Martin handles this.
Yeah, it's a messy thing. And I think one of the things that we learned from the Hillary Clinton Bernie Sanders battle, right? Like, this is not something that's new. And if you can't deal with it, then you shouldn't be party chair.
Yeah. Because there's a lot that you can be going after the Republicans over instead of shooting and eating your own. There's a lot of, maybe he's not getting the news. I don't know. Maybe he's, you know, still trying to find his way to the bathroom there at the DNC, but there's a lot of stuff going on. Maybe, you know, there's that big, beautiful nightmare they're working on. The story over the weekend of Garcia, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, evidently coming back, and we've got the attorney general who's hell-bent on prosecuting and then making a bunch of allegations that she's not prosecuting for. Interesting. Lots of stuff.
That was the weirdest press conference I've ever seen. And I'll give it to the Wall Street Journal. The reporter that was there, basically, so Pam Bondi, the attorney general, went through this whole rigmarole of, you know, he was involved in killing somebody's mother, and he solicited photos of a you know, explicit photos of a minor, and he trafficked women and children and drugs and guns and like all of these things. But he's charged with transporting an illegal alien, which means he drove a cab for somebody, you know? I mean, like, their allegation is, oh, he was working for MS-13 and driving gang members all over the country. And so there were just all of these allegations. And we finally got to the end of the press conference, and Wall Street Journal reporter goes, okay, I just, point of order here. You've got all of these things that you're saying, but you're only charging him with transporting an undocumented immigrant. So why would that be? And she basically dodged the question and then said, but let me tell you about human trafficking, and then went off of it and then was just like, okay, thanks, that's it, and then walked out. So to me, and a lot of the legal nerds that I watch were kind of like, you know, 50-50 this guy walks. But a lot of this stuff, it seems like they're trying to destroy this man because he fought back, you know?
Well, and I mean, it wasn't even him fighting back. I mean, you know, the labor movement stepped forward, and, you know, the fact that he was part of a union, and the SMART union, to their credit, you know, put this out front and center, and a lot of union leaders, you know, made this an issue. I got to think without the unions really taking this issue on, I don't think you hear much about this. I think the fact that you had the SMART union bring this up, and the painters and a bunch of other unions coming out and saying, hey, wait a second, that's one of our apprentices. Look, if he did something wrong, prosecute him and give him the due process that every one of us deserve, that every person deserves. You know, because you're not hearing this story about the other people they've deported. It's this one guy that the unions have, hey, that's our guy. He's going through this apprenticeship program, you're claiming he's doing all of this other stuff? It's ridiculous.
And I think, too, that really flagged it for Chris Van Hollen, the senator of Maryland, who really stepped up. So to be fair, you have so many unions who are employing immigrants or you know, people who either are here on a green card but want to get their citizenship. So I think for those who are like, yeah, this is our member, we're stepping up and we're going to protect him, I think right on. But drawing attention to it beyond that, getting the senators involved, getting DC involved,
look what you got going on in California. I mean, the fact that you've got, you know, Trump sending the National Guard, you had a union leader arrested for some ridiculous chumped up, oh, he was obstructing. You stand in the way. I'm sorry. That's what we do. That's how you slow things down. You know, but here again, going to use this as an excuse for the chaos that they want, because ultimately it's the only thing that their base really understands, because the economy, you know, prices haven't come down, wages haven't really gone up, the economy's not on fire. In fact, we're talking about a really bad summer into fall. So the one thing you do to keep the base all lathered up in the panties is start going after those people, send in the National Guard, cause some chaos. This is all, to me, it's all the dress rehearsal for what's going to come. And for all those people who go, you know, is this what you voted for? The red hats? Absolutely. Absolutely they voted for this.
And I think, you know, at the same time, we're seeing grocery prices still being high. And then it turns out there's a salmonella outbreak in 9 states due to tainted eggs. So that means egg prices are going to go up again.
Yeah, so but you get a little tummy ache, you'll be fine.
It would be something that the FDA, you know, or the CDC would come out and inform everybody about.
A functional.
People got fired.
A functional FDA and a functional CDC.
So that was in a local newspaper, and I'm like, oh, wow, when's the next time we're going to hear about this from RFK Jr.? So, again, like, you're spot on that it's a lot easier to throw a fit and do crappy things to California because Trump hates Gavin Newsom, you know, rather than actually address the economic issues that people want to talk about. And if Democrats were really smart, that's what they wouldn't get off on that. Like, yep. they wouldn't, there's no way that they, you could spin them off of that and be like, well, let me tell you about why immigration is important because of the economy, you know, like everything goes back to the economy.
Yeah. But here's the thing, you know, thanks to Donald Trump, we're going to all be singing the AC/DC song. I've got big balls. Cause evidently we're going to have a big ballroom for big balls. Cause look, you got big balls working for the government who oddly enough is afraid that he's going to get doged out of a job, which is weird. But here we are. This is the world that we're in. And sadly, again, this is the distraction. This is the bread and circus. This is the shiny thing, the cat laser that we're following well, oh so well.
Squirrel. Yeah. So the Elon Musk dude who refers to himself as Big Balls, I mean, first of all, there's this huge feud that's going on, right, between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And so there are like 100 people that Elon Musk got hired in the government who are still there.
Yeah, his ferrets.
Who are basically, yeah, who are his people. And so I'm kind of shocked that those people aren't gone already. But then at the same time, like, now you have all these folks who, you know, we've made such huge cuts. So what's the reason for Doge Boys to still be there if they're not doing anything? And again, like, we're watching Trump spend all of this money. It's like $82 million is what he's going to pay for his little birthday parade. And then he wants to build this huge ballroom at the White House because he's like, you guys have these events and you just have big tents out there. And it's like, okay, I get it. The White House is not a place that should be, you know, nothing but partying all the time.
Oh, no. This is going to be just like Mag-a-Lago. We're going to rent out parts. Mm-hmm. When we're not using the ballroom, we're going to rent it out for weddings.
And it's crazy because it's like, I think it is his whole, like, I want to Mar-a-Lago-ize the White House, because you've seen what he's done to the Oval Office with his gold-plated yada yada. So my favorite photo, I can't remember who it was. I think it was a Daily Mail reporter on Friday. So after the story broke about, you know, this big ballroom thing that Trump wants to do, Daily Mail guy took a picture of a patch of grass that was probably like the size of a Barbie dream house and said that, and it had like cones around this like tiny patch of grass. And he goes, I just saw Trump and the vice president walking around out here looking at this patch of grass. Is this going to be the ballroom? Like this little one by one space? So I don't know. Trump also said he was going to pay for it. Which,
yeah, hold your breath on that one.
Right? Like, that's the thing is, when was the last time Trump paid for anything?
There's a better chance that Mexico will pay for the wall.
There's a better chance Mexico will pay for the ballroom.
No, there's a chance that they might. The wall, never. But, you know, maybe as a gift to the ballroom, maybe. If they could, you know, slap their name on it, maybe naming rights. You know, the White House ballroom brought to you by the country of Mexico. I could see maybe that, or, you know, to put right next to the big, beautiful plane that we're evidently spending several hundred million dollars to, which I don't get, but, you know, hey,
right.
But here's the thing, as I said earlier, how is this helping working people? How is the feud? How is all of the stuff that they're doing, all of this chaos actually helping working people? How's it making my life or the red hat, my red hat friends' lives? How is it making us better in any way, shape, or form?
It's just all the reality show that Trump wants. You know, it's all a distraction because it turns out fixing the economy while trying to, you know, drop taxes for your billionaire buddies is actually not an economically sensible thing to do. And all of the things that I feel like Joe Biden did while he was in office to make things, you know, like renegotiate the price of eggs and renegotiate, you know, all of these things with these major corporations that were basically jacking up prices because they were gouging because they were taking advantage of COVID. I feel like that is the conversation Trump could be having. But again, that would mean that he'd have to do something other than just, you know, watch Fox News and post things on the internet all day.
Yeah, but it's so much better because, you know, you don't actually have to have a plan or a policy. And as long as people are saying your name, which, again, I come back to, all this is his ego. And the weird thing about the two of them, both Musk and Trump, is they're both egomaniacs. They're both destroyers. And the sad reality is we're the ones who are going to end up suffering because of it, because the rest of the world's moving on without us. And for me, this could be a moment where Democrats, Ken Martin, hello, this could be a moment where you go, let's not try and pick a side. Let's say they're both bad and get rid of all of them. How about some policies that are going to move us in those directions, like I talked about earlier? That's what we should be doing.
Absolutely. And again, this is a great opportunity for the Democrats, but it wouldn't be the Democrats if, you know, they didn't let an opportunity saunter past them without taking advantage of it.
They are going to snatch victory out of the jaws, or defeat out of the jaws of victory. And maybe, you know, it's frustrating because there's a real opportunity here.
And Karine Jean-Pierre, the former White House press secretary, basically just left the Democratic Party. There are other people that are talking about, you know, leaving the Democratic Party to become independents.
Gosh, I'm so tired of hearing that. Those are the same people. I'm going to leave the country. Good. Bye. I'm good. Go. You're not helping anyone with this. This whole, we're going to be independent, not helping.
And that's the thing, is it's like in a two-party system where we have states that don't even allow third parties on the ballot. That's not the same in all of them, but that is true in a lot of them. You really have to work within the structure that is there. And I don't know that trying to change the entire structure of the political system, you know, maybe that's a long-term goal, but it doesn't make sense short-term to be like, well, I'm going to leave the Democratic Party to be more independent and try and gin up more support for independence. It's like, no, I'm pretty sure everybody in the country is really all in for independence. So, you know, it's about creating kind of a political structure there as a party structure for an independent party.
Now, look, if I thought a third party were possible, if it were possible to govern with you know, a third of the vote, I would go, yeah, that's a great idea. It's not. You have to take one of the parties over and move them in the right direction. The Republicans have done that. They've taken that party where they want it. It is the party of destroying everything of the 20th century, enriching the very wealthy, and punishing others, whatever that other group is. And Democrats have got to figure out who they are and figure out how to have a message wide enough that people are going to go, yeah, these are things that we agree on. Maybe there's some stuff I don't agree with what the Democrats do, but for the most part, I think they're somewhere in the right area. And by staying involved with that, I think you have the opportunity to maybe hone that a little bit better.
It would be nice. Wouldn't it? Just the little things in life.
Just, you know, maybe having a spine. We'll start there. But Sarah, as always, I appreciate the time, the thoughts, great work there at Raw Story. Keep it up. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a good rest of the week, everyone.
You as well. Our good friend, Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her work, Raw Story, rawstory.com. Quick break. Right back. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1954. That was the day that marked the public downfall of Wisconsin Senator Joseph McCarthy. Senator McCarthy had become the public face of anti-communist hysteria during the Cold War. He used his position as senator to make wild accusations against alleged communists in the U.S. government. He ruined careers and ramped up public fears of a menacing communist threat. Public officials, labor leaders, university presidents, and Hollywood stars and directors all became potential targets of the Red Scare. The hysteria took a particular toll on the labor movement. In 1946, Congress overrode President Harry Truman's veto and passed the Taft-Hartley Act. The act required that all union leaders sign an affidavit that they were not communists. those with ties to the Communist Party, or those who simply refused to sign the loyalty pledge on principle, faced expulsion from the labor movement. The communist purges ripped the labor movement apart, expelling some of the most progressive and radical leaders. Senator McCarthy was the public face of the anti-red witch hunts. But some in the public began to question his bullying tactics. Then the senator made an unfounded claim that the army had been infiltrated by communists. For 2 months, the American public watched as Senator McCarthy conducted televised hearings into the United States Army. Joseph Welch served as the chief legal counsel for the Army. Senator McCarthy accused another lawyer of Welch's firm of having communist ties. Angered, Welch asked,
"Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last, have you left no sense of decency?"
Many in the public watched the testimony and wondered the same thing. McCarthy's popularity and power was finally checked.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So again, when you've got a government like the Trump administration, like Trump's government, who is going all out to destroy any data collection, are you surprised when things don't get reported to you? Are you surprised when, you know, the salmonella is on the rise and nobody knows about it? Not really surprised. And that's the goal. The goal is to make government so dysfunctional that nobody believes anything that comes out of it. So that when they actually do something, nobody will believe that it was that bad. And now look, I've been saying for a while, these are destroyers. And this latest thing shouldn't shock anyone, shouldn't surprise anyone. But the Trump administration just canceled nearly $800 million in mRNA vaccine contracts for future pandemic flu preparations. And the weird thing to me is there are some people who are acting like, where did this come from? Oh, we're shocked. It came out of nowhere. But look, if you've been paying attention, this is who they are. If you were one of those people who were working in the fields or cleaning hospital floors or ringing up groceries during the last pandemic, you knew they were going to do this. And look, I mentioned this during the last campaign. We told you. And the fact of the matter is if there is another pandemic, the rich, again, will get their vaccines and everybody else won't. Just like it was back in 2021, the rich got theirs, ours didn't come till later. And now you've got bird flu spreading. It's spreading among cows and farm workers. And you've got experts warning that another pandemic just around the corner. And what the Trump government do? Well, they pulled the plug on one of our fastest and safest tools, which is this mRNA vaccine technology. I know the conspiracy kooks are out there, but why did they do this? Well, because of politics, conspiracy theories, or the same habit of ignoring science when it doesn't fit your campaign slogan. That's what this is. All this talk about ethical concerns or side effects, every major study that I can find shows that the mRNA vaccines are overwhelmingly safe. Meanwhile, the alternatives, the egg-based vaccines, they take, 10 months, a year to produce? And they don't even really target the right strain of bird flu, which is kind of the difference between life and death. The reality is when the next pandemic comes, it's going to be farm workers and frontline heroes who are going to get sick even before politicians start debating whether they want to act. We're going to have hospitals filled up again, and all, you know, the wealthy are going to get theirs. And look, what the Trump administration did isn't just short-sighted, it's dangerous. Gutting health programs, cutting research, dismantling the very agencies that are supposed to respond to emergencies while we're flying blind into the next pandemic, dumb. But it's who they are. And don't think other countries are going to send us stuff, because didn't you learn the last time how bad our supply chain is? We threw away our advantages. And look, this isn't red state, blue state. This is survival. But here we are. Again, an administration hell-bent on destruction. So remember, when the next one hits, I told you so. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Miss any portion of the program, grab the podcast. As always, wherever you find your podcast, you'll find ours. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. At rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. 700 Marines will deploy to Los Angeles County to support National Guard troops already there and more on the way amid protests against the administration's immigration crackdown. CBS's Elise Preston in L.A.
We're told that they could mobilize and move into L.A. within the next couple of days, and they would be supporting the National Guard. It's a move that is being heavily criticized by state and local officials. California Governor Gavin Newsom called that move unnecessary, unprecedented, and uncalled for. He said that that would be bringing in the best branch of the military in against citizens.
California is suing the Trump administration for overstepping. The president says of his decision, and California Governor Gavin Newsom.
I think it would have been a very bad situation. It was heading in the wrong direction. It's now heading in the right direction. And